time to go ahead and start. We can talk about it a little bit later. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for, again, allowing us this opportunity, this venue of coming together and fellowshipping with each other, Lord. Draw our hearts closer to each other, Lord. And let your spirit flow tonight, Lord. Let your spirit flow, Lord, and let people speak what you've given them to speak about it, Lord. And to allow the Holy Spirit to work in each one of us, Father. Lord, we thank you for the authority that you've given us. And I command any kind of problems that might try to pop up with any kind of communication with anybody's computer, phone, or whatever, in the name of Jesus, to cease. And I command clear channels in everybody's communications device. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, that things are going to be said that people's going to learn from. And I just love them, Lord, because I learn something every night we do this. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be any different. We're all going to learn something tonight. Father, I just praise you, and I thank you, Lord, for having free reign in this fellowship, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Any prayer requests? Oh, by the way, I got a praise report. I got my computer back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now I've got this big 21-inch screen that I can see y'all on, so that little 10-inch screen. Good gracious. I was having a squint. Who is that? Who is that over there? You know, now I can just see you almost in real life. Praise God. It's like a TV. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or a praise report? Testimony.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I just wanted to give a praise report to say that I went in for that heart cath yesterday, and they found absolutely nothing, and so I just praise the Lord for that.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, yes, Lord, for an answer to prayer.
Yes, it was. It sure was. Thank you all for joining us in prayer.
Amen. That's
thank
good.
You, Father.
Praise you, Lord. Now, Tracy's listening in, so she knows it too, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yes, she was there. Yeah, she knew. Yeah, okay. She was there with me. Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Praise God.
Okay.
Lord, we just praise you, Lord, for answers to gain those prayers and our prayers for her. We thank you, Father, that that's something that ought to be regular, and it is. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Are you waving your hand, Denny? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm trying to get on.
You're on.
I was trying to push this thingy. But, am I on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm going. Okay. I was in the other night, and there's this little woman, this old lady that, well, shouldn't say that, but she was a little older lady. And she asked me a question about where something was, and I tried to help her. And it's like she looked me up two other times at store. To ask me where things were and saying, you know, I just got out of the hospital and I'd just as soon not walk off of the store looking, so now can you help me where this is? And each time she would tell me about how she's just got out of the hospital and so tired. And so the third time I helped her again, and I asked her if she could tell me what was the problem. And she told me, just said she had fainted, and I said, did they find out why? And she said, no, I'm just run down, real tired and fatigued, and I passed out. So I asked her if she was a believer, and she said yes. I asked if I could pray for her. She's very sweet, real sweet face, this real sweet lady. And I said, yes, I am. And I prayed for her. And she was very grateful. And she, I said, do you believe you're healed? She said, yes. So she walked off, and I was then offered to help and go out over to the pharmacy for her to get what she needed. We found it was down at the pharmacy, and she said, no, I can do it. And I said, okay, well, God bless you. You're healed. So I just want to pray for her, and I'm praying. I hope I can see her again and get a testimony from her. So I don't even know her name.
Yeah.
But thank you for this woman, Lord, and I just thank you for that opportunity to be used, Lord, and to help her, Lord, and I just thank you, God, that you have healed her, revealed your glory to her and your healing power to her, and I just pray that you would allow me to run into her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That little old lady is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I lost my information thing here. All right, anybody else? Anyone else got a testimony or a praise report? Oh, thank you, Lord. All boys and girls, we got some things coming up on the horizon that y'all are just going to get blessed by the Lord. I'm telling you, it's coming up. Go ahead, Pat.
Your screen went dark for some reason. Can't hardly see your face, Michael.
That's because I turned the lights out.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want you looking at my face. It's the brilliance, Pat. It's the brilliance that
I got you. Is that a veil you're putting over your face?
Yeah, George sitting there. Whoa, man. Yeah. No, I just turned it off so I could see my phone over here. Go ahead.
You sound a lot better tonight.
Well, I do appreciate that. All right, buddy. Go ahead.
I kind of relearned something a few days ago. Experiencing, I guess I've explained this before, but this particular work, this job that I'm in, we're in the process of rebuilding retail stores like Sears and those type of stores like that, and so you have to do that work in the context of an operating facility. In other words, you can't just go in there and shut the place down and do your work and be done in 6 weeks and you're gone. It's one of those things where you have to coordinate everything, and you bring materials in and you put them in a little room someplace so it's not seen, and then at night the night crew comes in and does a lot of work. Well, this is and then you're constantly trying to coordinate people in the daytime and the nighttime and all that sort of things. It's stressful for every party. And you can tell, especially if you've ever had the joy of working at night, say from 10 o'clock at night till 6 the next morning, it whacks your whole thinking, it whacks your life apart. I don't know how people do it, but I'm not currently doing that, but one of my partners is doing it on the night shift. So to basically say that people are always tense and on the edge of their nerves and they're always under pressure, and you just, you catch a lot of attitudes and disgruntled people and agitation all the time. So the last few days, I'm going to say a week, up to say a week ago, it was just getting more and more tense, and it's like people are always telling you, we're not going to do it, we're not going to make it, there's just too much to do, they're throwing too much on us, and we're not going to make this thing, and you just get that constant evil report all the time, some things happened, and some people got disgruntled at the client got disgruntled about something and got back to my boss, and my boss was all mad, sent me an email that was very sharp and to the point, you know, we can't have this happen again type of scenario. So I realized that I had quit blessing my project. And I know that I gave a testimony about that, a few weeks ago or whatever, that God just seems to change people's hearts. And I got involved in the tension and the scheduling and this and that and whatever. And it's like, I just kind of forgot it or set it to the side. Well, so yesterday I realized that I'm not going to just bless my project in the daytime because the blessing needs to happen at night on the previous crew, the night crew before. That's really where it needs, the blessing needs to happen. That although all the people that are, they'll have that spirit of cooperation, a calmness, a positive demeanor, that they're going to, you know, everybody's going to work together. We're going to make this, we're going to do it. So for the last couple of days, I started praying that and blessing my crew. Matter of fact, last night was the first time I actually started blessing my night crew at night. And I went in this morning fully aware that we were having a client meeting and a meeting today, and I was, I guess, kind of expecting to get raked over the coals, so to speak. And you could tell just the stark, reality or the change. It was like yesterday they were angry, and today everybody was just calm and happy that things were moving along smoothly, and nothing changed except everybody's attitude and perspective, you know? And so I have to bless the Lord. I just thank the Lord. It just, again, I got wound up in all the pressure and everything and set it to the side. So anyway, I repented. I'm back into praying and blessing my work at night, blessing my crews in the day, and trusting that that we'll get through this process and everybody's attitude will change to a positive attitude. And I'm just surprised that even in the period of one day, how it seems as though everything was falling apart yesterday, and now it looks like we're on track. We're going, you know, everything is happening in a systematic process, and we're going to make it. So it's just, it astounds me how quickly the Lord can do that. It's just, and the thing of it is, it's all in people's hearts, in how they're perceiving the events around them and the whole process. So it's just, I'm just thanking the Lord about the thing and learning new things all the while. So praise the Lord.
Amen. You go to praising the Lord for all the things that are going on and start blessing it with peace, and I guarantee you it'll get done before it's supposed to. Amen.
Amen. I believe that.
Yep. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Judy Tide keeps texting. Anyway, anybody else? Go ahead, Denny. I see you punching the thing.
Yeah, we just stand with Pat in this, and we bless him too, Lord. Bless his the company that he works for, and his bosses, and the client, and all the workers. We just thank you, Father, for that peace and the rest that they can have, and pray that this job would pick up, and it would just be a blessing, Father, a financial blessing, and we just thank you. And bless Pat in it, God. Just give him that rest and peace as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, Lord. I put our faith together with Dennis, and we know what's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Willie. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, mine is really minor, but I just want everybody for your prayers on today. I've had a lot more patience, a lot calmer the last couple of days. Been a lot less of a bear to be around by everybody, including myself. So I praise God for your prayers, but it really did increase my patience and my understanding, and calmed me down and took some of the edge off, and it was a real blessing. So thank you, everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? The promises of God. How about the promises of God? You know what? We could be for years sitting here talking about the promises of God. It's an awesome thing. In Galatians 3, in verse 11, it is written, the righteous shall live from faith. The righteous shall live from faith. Praise God. Hebrews 10:24. Has anybody heard had this one yet? It is written, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Praise the Lord. I always like to say it is written so Satan can know and understand that we have this authority that God has given us. He can't sit around here and mess with us. Anybody else? Guess what else he'll do? Look at that, Exodus 23:26-28. He says, I will cut them off. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you. Ooh, praise God. Lord, let them hornets go. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 33:2. I'm going to keep on until somebody else raises his hand. I can go, boys and girls. I can go. It is written, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorites and the Hittite and all them out, brothers. Praise God. That's in Exodus 33 and 2. And God fights for us too, don't he? Deuteronomy 28 and 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Praise the Lord. And that's what I like to see, is victory. He still, look at 2 Chronicles 32 and 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Praise God. That's, you know, that's a great thing about living this life of faith, is that we don't have to worry about fighting any battles other than on our knees, right? God will take care of things. I've seen more prayers answered in the last 6 years than I have in the last 20. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing more prayers answered quicker in the last, say, year than I have in the last 20. Quicker. I'm talking about just like that. Praise the Lord.
I can say that, Michael.
What's that?
I agree with that. I've seen more work done in the last year than, well, the last couple years at least. Some things I thought would take years to overcome, it feel, you know, the enemy kept telling me that just like, you know, a couple weeks, month maybe. So I would agree.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Anybody else got a promise from God? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, one I like is James 4:6 down to 4-10. It says that he giveth more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Put your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, double mind. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall exalt you.
Amen. I just read that the other day while I was doing some studying and reading. Let's see what it says in Mark 16 and 17. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a good one there, man. I'm going to tell you something. We can put them demons to flight, can't we? Praise God. Then in John 14 and 12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And of course, you know what the rest of it said. Greater works than these you shall do also.
Got one.
All right, go ahead.
Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. And it just keeps going. There's a lot of good stuff in, obviously, in these couple of chapters in here, all the promises and Down in 13 says, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, and thy grain, thy new wine, thine oil, the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And I think of all these covenant promises to Israel back then, and then I take comfort in knowing that we have even a better covenant and a better sacrifice, promises better things. But he's still a covenant God to us, too.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else?
Well, I have some revelations. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear. The Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives. That's Revelation 2:17. And then Revelation 3:12. I love these overcoming ones. Is him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. And then Revelation 3:21.
You say three?
Him overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me. 3:21, yes. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my Father's throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, these overcoming promises to the overcomers. Thank you, Lord. We will reign with him and partake of all the blessings. That's the white stone.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, while we're in Revelations, let's just go to where the churches are, because there's some blessings in there, too. That's in Revelation 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write these things. He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, he that walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works and thy toil and patience, and that thou cannot bear evil men, and did try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and did find them false. And you have patience, and didst bear for my name's sake, and hast not grown weary. But he said, I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Remember therefore which thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, here comes the promise, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. and then to the church in Smyrna. These things saith the first and the last who was dead and lived again. I know thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich, and the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Fear not the things which thou art about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. How many of you know that's a great promise? That's a great promise right there. I saw a guy on YouTube over in Africa, and I probably told this a couple of times, maybe a dozen, I don't know, but it just fascinated me. There was about a half a dozen of them out there that these Muslims were trying to burn up in a fire. And they keep running out, and they'd go get them, drag them back. Well, there was just one old man in there that kept pulling the brushes that were burning on top of himself. He wasn't feeling any pain. He knew he was going to Jesus. He wasn't feeling any pain, and that's what he's talking about. He that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. His flesh, when your flesh dies, you're not going to feel the pain. There's been a lot of, I don't know if y'all have ever read any, I know some of you have probably, the Book of Martyrs and what's happened to a lot of those people there. They don't feel that pain when they're burned at the stake. They don't feel it. They'll sit there. Some of them be sitting there singing hymns to the Lord. Amen. That's a good promise. Anybody else? Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because that explained, and that just blew my mind. I was thinking, well, what is going on here? That the story in the, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs of that preacher who was led to the stake to be burned. And it said, you know, I guess I was like, how on earth is he preaching to these people? He was led to the stake, and they set him, you know, set him on fire. And he looked at the, I guess, where all the, you know, all the sticks and everything were, and he found a Bible, and he said he picked it up, and he began to preach to all the people out there, you know, in the crowd. And he said, you know, just like conviction came upon their hearts. And as he was burning, he was preaching his final sermon to all these people out there who were watching him. And I thought, how on earth is this guy sitting here speaking when he's burning alive? So,
amen.
It's powerful. Yeah, it's powerful.
Amen. Lord, good. He takes the sting of death away from you.
Well, Michael, here's another one for the other one of the other churches, the Church of Thyatira. Thyatira, to him who, in Revelation 26, I think that says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear the Spirit says to the churches. So that's all the churches we just did.
Amen. Amen. That's some good promises there too. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Well, let's see what happens in Pergamum. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these things saith he that hath the sharp two-edged sword. I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is, and thou holdest fast my name, and didst not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there some that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also some that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans in like manner. Repent, therefore, or else I come to thee quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Well, that's a promise too, yeah? Okay? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knows, but he that receives it. Praise God. Some more good promises. Well, let's go on to the church in Sardis. Let's go ahead and take them all. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. Be thou watchful, and establish the things that remain which were ready to die, for I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and didst hear, and keep it, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Once saved, always saved. And I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, which tells us that he does blot people's name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he's telling us right there that sinners saved by grace is a false doctrine. That's a false Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the last one. I like this one. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and none shall shut, and that shuts and none opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door open, which none can shut. That thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou didst keep the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. And he that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God in mine own new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God, that's the church I want to be in right there. The Philadelphia church. That's the one that gets to escape. That's the bride's church, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else got a promise from God?
I do, Michael.
Okay, Wayne, go ahead, brother.
Psalms 37, the one well known. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Yep, that's a good one. Here's one that we ought to write on our hearts. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. What we got here? We got a convenience store run here. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
One I promise I like is the first part of Ephesians chapter 2. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, for the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have ye been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? How about Matthew 25 and 34, I'm sorry. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirst, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we see thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. That's right. Amen. The righteous goes into eternal life for doing the things that God tells him to do. And the unrighteous go to eternal punishment. How long is eternal? That's from nigh on, ain't it? As the old boy says, that's from nigh on. There ain't no end. It's hard for us in our little finite minds to understand eternity. But I sure am looking forward to experiencing it. You know, I've heard this before, and y'all probably have too. A guy was describing eternity, and he said, think of it this way. Think of eternity as a blackbird or a bird going down to all the sandy beaches of the world and taking a grain of sand and flying up to the moon and dropping that and doing it until he gets done with all the sand in the world. And he said, eternity has just started. And that kind of puts it into perspective what eternity is going to be like. We won't even, man, we get up there, we ain't got to work. What time is it? We don't have to work. What time is it? What we got to do today? No, never mind. It really doesn't. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's going to be awesome up there, y'all. And I'm looking for, I don't have a clue in my little old pea brain what it's going to be like, but I've heard people going up there and know that it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And that's why God wants us to walk in faith. And it's endure in our faith to the end. And that's what this walk is about. It's about faith. It's about calling those things that are not as though they were. Like that time that David had a washing machine worked on by a technical college, you know, where they had applied for repair or something like that. And it was going to cost him $50. And they told him the day that they were delivering it, that's what it was going to cost. And he didn't have a dime. And then he points out to the mailbox and there's $50 in that mailbox that I can pay this with. And then walked down there and picked it up. That letter had been rolling around in the post office for 6 months or something like that. Rolling around in the post office. God was just waiting for the right time for that $50 to show up so he could show himself strong. Praise God. And that's the way he does it. That's the faith walk. That's what he wants from us, out of us. It's just nothing but faith. And, you know, that's the great thing about it. He gives us the faith to himself. He gives us the faith to do whatever it is we got to do. All right, anybody else? Got a promise? I'm just going to pick one.
Michael.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Romans 8, 38 and 39, and another one after this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And then there's one in Psalm 121, but I don't have the verse. I have that chapter down. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going forth now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Seven and eight. Then he says 121, 7 and 8.
Thank you, Lord, for your promises. The few verses before that, in verse 121:4, the protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. The Lord will guard you. He is by your side to protect you. The sun will not hurt you during the day, nor the moon during the night.
That's the verses for your journey here on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I got one.
Go ahead, brother.
But he give you according to the riches of his glory to be made mighty through the Spirit unto the inward man, but the Christ dwell in your hearts through faith in love, rooted and grounded, so that ye be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye be filled unto all the fullness of God. And well, the rest, all the way down to the end of Ephesians 3, there is pertaining to the promise to the one who does it all.
Amen. I like Ephesians 3. It's one of my favorite. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse, starting in verse 22, and I'm going to go somewhere with it. Finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling. These are all commands, but contrariwise, blessing. For hereunto were ye called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now here's the one I was coming to. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. Now, what's the difference there? I'm asking. One is his ear to the righteous, his ears unto their supplication. His ears are unto their prayers. Okay? But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. Now, why does he say his face is upon them that do evil?
I've got the King James that says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Is that what you meant?
No, I meant what I said.
Okay.
I came out of the ASV. The face of the Lord is upon them that do evil.
Huh. I wonder why I've got against in the King James then. Interesting.
Well, I don't know. I bet you Denny's fixing to tell us.
Go for it.
Mine opposes them. But he opposes those who do evil. That'd be like Joe's.
Yeah, but why does he say his face is upon them? Or oppose them. Andrew, you know?
Over there in, I'll just give a hint. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that you shall be seeing him face to face. But this is something else. I believe that your eyes is used for prophecy. Your ears are for teaching. Your nose is to know where the good word is, the good pasture. And your mouth is to speak the oracles of God, the evangelists. Of course, it's supposed to be attached also to your ears so you can speak the teaching and the prophecy, and it has to be all, of course, true prophecy and true teaching. Can't be false, can't be the serpent tongue. And this face, if God's against you, he's against you on all of this because you're doing evil. He's going to be against you for prophecy, for teaching, for you to even find where the good word of God is, the good pasture, for you to partake of as a lamb. And I always associated the eyes with prophecy, the ears with teaching, the nose with knowing where the word of God is. Of course, it's in the Bible, but it has to be written upon your heart, and the mouth to speak the evangelist and the word of God, of course, to speak only what God speaks, the oracles of God, as it says in 1 Peter 4, 11. And so if his face is against you, he's going to be against you with all these. And it's also the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is very much attached to all the orifices of a person's face. And we are created in the image of God, so... we have two eyes, but we see single-eyed. We're not cyclops. We see single-eyed, but a person who is regenerated, he can see better than any unregenerated person, because he can even see what an unregenerated person is and a regenerated person, a born-again person is. But a non-born-again person cannot see what a born-again person is. So you've got two perspectives here, and you can see far better than he can. If you get what I'm saying there, you know, you can see the old man and the new man. The other person can only see the old man because that's all he knows. And that's evident as to why they don't understand us. You know, they look at you kind of weird and they go, what are you talking about? You know, and sometimes you may not even know how to explain that to them. And of course, the Lord told me that just recently, that you've got more than one perspective here. You know, you've got the two eyes that sees as one with the Lord. They don't see as one with the Lord. And, They're, and this is happening in the church where they don't have the proper prophecy either. So they someone came in and gave them the evil eye, I guess, and they got false prophecy out of it. For instance, where they speak the letter instead of the spirit. And I don't want to go into detail on that. It's just, these guys know where the details on that is. But you know, they got a physical temple. They still talk about it's supposed to be a spiritual one. And there are a lot of other things in that temple. You know, a lamp in the temple, but you're supposed to have your light burning brightly. We just went through the seven churches and he called each one a lamp. In Revelation chapter 1, and that was the lamp for the whole city. You see, so anyone who was in that church could have only had that much glory in them for all the different lights, seven lights that are in the temple. So whatever they had in knowledge, it was to that level of what that lamp that Jesus was walking in the midst of. So, you know, that's like I'm in the book of Revelation, you know, I'm referring to back to the first chapter where he talks about the lamp that's in the midst, that is for each seven churches, and Jesus is walking in the midst of them. So, if you have a church that has no understanding, that light is going to be either out, and you need understanding, you need to have discernment, or else how can you possibly understand what God's speaking to you concerning life? And what they have is the letter, so they look at it wrongly anyway. That's if God has his face against you, it's not a good thing to have. It's you want God to shine his face upon you. You want him to look upon you as a youngster, even because we're all very young compared to the Almighty God, and you want him to be as a parable when you look at your, when you remember watching your little child, or if some of you have little grandchildren, when you're looking at that, and how happy and joyous you are to see them, even if they're walking around the coffee table hanging on at the same time, you know. And that's the way you want to have the Almighty God see us, as his children, or whatever maturity you have, you know. If you're you know, and maturity is not measured on how old you are either, because Jesus was in his early 30s and he had the most glory of them all. So, you know, you get some of these pastors who say, you know, I've been in the Lord for 40, 50 years, you know, and I know, but how old are you glory wise? You know, Jesus was 30 to 33 and he had the most glory. He had more glory than some of the old folks there, you know. And, well, you know, they need to understand that anyway. I hope they come to understand that. Anyway, that's all.
Well, amen. I've heard them, you know, I've heard preachers talking like you were talking about, I've been in the Lord for this many years or that many years, and doesn't, and couldn't quote a half a dozen scriptures. But, you know, that's where they are. That's what they've learned by listening to another preacher. I like what, who was it? It was not Derek Prince, but the other one that just died here last year. Oh, anyway, Englishman. He said that we got one lost soul teaching another lost soul teaching another lost soul in these seminaries, and he said it's where we are in our churches today. Go ahead, Tim.
I think that kind of struck me, the difference between God look on you and shine peace upon you. Clear back to all of Adam, that the Hebrew tradition was that if any man looked upon the face of God, they'd kill him. So the sinner and looking face to face upon God, it was a death sentence.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking like his face against him. Maybe the guy would give him a bit of, maybe God would give him a bit of mercy too. You know, to show him that he's a sinner and he's wrong, and because if he can't have the ability to see that he's wrong in something, then how will he ever attain mercy? You know. Is he just going to be, you know, constantly against him? You know, I know God hates, he hated Esau. He hates these Nicolaitans. But that's in a pretty bad place if God's against you.
That's, you know, to say the least, yeah.
You know, It could put anyone for fear for that person. And it makes you kind of wonder, do our intercessory prayers intercede for such a person? You know, I don't know if you know any such people, but will your intercessory prayer help for such a person? You know, that's just a question I have.
Will help what kind of a person, Andrew?
Well, whom God has spaces against, and you know, a very wicked person, you know.
Absolutely, it will.
Okay.
I believe it. I believe it because the Lord uses us to turn their hearts to Him. He uses our prayers to turn their hearts to Him. That's how we got saved. Somebody was praying for you. I don't know who it was, but somebody was praying for me.
Amen.
And y'all, you know. Listen to what it says here about the Lord's face in Revelation 20, starting out in verse 11. And this is what came to me when I read that scripture a while ago. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And I believe those that are lost are going to stand before God face to face. Now, it's just one take on that scripture I just read a while ago. It's upon that he's going to be against them. I don't want to be at the last resurrection. I really don't. I want to be in the first one. All right. Anybody else? What do y'all think about that? Andrew, what do you think about that? Is that something that we can consider that might also represent the white throne judgment, or is that a stretch? Anybody?
If everything flees from his face, then there's nothing you can do about it, you know. Like,
no,
I think that explains it pretty well.
Yeah, there was found no place for them. They couldn't hide from God's face. Okay. Anybody else? I don't want to be in. I ain't going to be in that. God's going to be with me. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Got a promise. Go ahead, Tim.
One more little note on the face of the Lord, face of God. In 2 Thessalonians, first chapter, 6 or 7 in there. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might.
Now, where was that, Tim, again?
It was 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Any more promises in the Word of God? Y'all? Listen to this, Matthew 19, 29 through 30. And everyone that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. We got to do just like the disciples did when Jesus came around to him and they was out there fishing. Just left fish, boat, dad, and all of it and went with Jesus right at that time. Here's another good promise right here. We probably said it, but I'm going to say it again. Matthew 6 and 33. Let me just do it out of here. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what he's talking about there is if you run after the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your strength, you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to let everything else going to fall into place. And that's hard for us coming out where you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do whatever it is that you got to do to make a living and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. Like my dad taught us boys, you know, you make your own way, boy, you know, and that kind of thing. It's just totally opposite of the way man's way of thinking is. We have to just give it up, go after God, and allow him to bring it all together for us. I don't know how God's going to do it, but it don't make any difference how he's going to do it. He's going to do it, right? Doesn't make any difference how your provisions are coming. It doesn't make any difference how this is coming or that's coming. It's going to come. That's what we know. We just keep on hanging on. We endure in our faith to the end. We're going to see some stuff, y'all. You're going to see some stuff. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow. Here's some commands. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, you got enough to worry about today rather than worrying about tomorrow. Okay? I'm just scared what's going to happen tomorrow. What for? You better worry about what's going on in the next step. You know, not worry about it. Just keep on believing. All right, anybody else? Here's some. Go ahead, Wade. I see your hand up, buddy.
Okay, Jeanette.
It's for me. It's first.
All right.
First Thessalonians, verse 23 and 24.
Chapter 5, verse 23 and 24.
I'm sorry. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. John chapter 5. Starting out in 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life, and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour comes, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, this is something here that I've noticed in the last few weeks about Jesus and what we're supposed to be doing. Listen to what he says. He said, I can of myself, this is in John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing as I hear. Do nothing, colon. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It is another that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye have sent unto John, and he hath borne witness unto the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man. Howbeit I say these things, that you may be saved. He's talking about John here. He was the lamp that burns and shines, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his life. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father that has sent me, he hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent him ye believe not. Talking about himself. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourself. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe who receive glory one of another, and the glory that comes from the only God you seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, I read a lot there. For one thing, is to get us to understand where Jesus got all of his stuff. He said he didn't do anything lest he asked the Father. That's what Jesus was. He got all his information from the Father. That's where we need to be getting our information from. It's the Father. And Jesus will help us do that. The Holy Spirit helps us do that. Is get our, that's when we pray, okay? We pray to the Father. I can of myself do nothing as I hear. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's Jesus talking. So, and if you'll go through all the Gospels, you'll notice that Jesus prays constantly to the Father. He's always wanting the Father to tell him what to do. He's always asking the Father what to do. He didn't just go out there and haphazardly pick those disciples. The Father told him who to pick. Go out there and get them fishermen out that boat. Bring them with you. Go over and get Thomas, old doubting Thomas. We're fixing to make a believer out of him. You know, and the thing that I guess I'm trying to get across is that we need to be praying and about what God wants to do in our life, helping us, guide us. Every day we ought to be praying that the Holy Spirit guides us to do the things that he wants us to do. But you can't do that unless you pray, can you? I wouldn't think so. Prayer is important. Look, I'm talking to myself too, because I don't pray near about enough. We get caught up in distractions. Y'all remember that thing that Eve gave out on what times we're in now? He said, I'm coming quickly. Then he got on to us for not believing his word, because we hadn't been doing what he wanted us to do, and that's to pray and to intercede for our fellow man. I don't know how I got off on this, but anyway, praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It's faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us.
Okay. Was that 2 Timothy chapter 2?
Yeah, verse 11 and 12.
Okay. I hear a clock. I hear a clock beating over there, Joe.
Yeah.
Praise God. I can hear. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead.
I got one.
All right.
Sorry if you guys can't see me. Whenever I'm doing split screen, it kind of takes away the picture.
Okay.
What is this one? Exodus 4 and 14. When you said something, I thought this completely lined up with it. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And it made me think about when you said, we don't pray enough. You know, it's, you know, not being used to, you know, the Lord fighting for you, you know, in prayer, you know, when we're sitting down in prayer and the Lord, you know, that's taking that moment to be still, you know, it's watching the Lord fight our battles, you know, through intercession, supplication, thanksgiving, you know. I just found that verse of scripture interesting. You know, we're looking for the Lord to fight our battles. We're looking for God to manifest his word. You know, I am a very poor praying person. You know, I have a poor prayer life. You know, and I'll put an exclamation mark at the end of that. But just looking at the scripture, it says, you know, how it says the Lord will fight for you. you need only be still. And I can't, you know, I can't find sometimes making myself be still, you know, just to take out 30 minutes to pray. And I know this is, that's a bad thing, you know, but I'm confessing that. But that's one of the promises of, you know, sitting down and being still, you know, and taking out the time to pray. You know, the Lord will fight whatever battles you're dealing with, even when the impossible is all that's before your eyes, you know. And another promise I saw here, where it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. But there's also one that says that your days may be long on the earth. And what that kind of reminded me of is, you know, where we're spiritually birthed from, you know, and what the Lord is talking about when he says that your days might be long in the land, long on the earth, you know. And I look at that land and that earth, you know, as being, you know, new heaven and new earth. And the reason why I say that, you know, man came from the first dust of the ground. You know, now you're born again. You know, you're a new creature. That your land, it reminds me of how God says there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, you know. And your days are going to be long in that new heaven and in that new earth, you know, if we're willing to honor our father and our mother. You know, that place where we became born again, that by which we became born again. Not just this earth, you know, but that new heaven and new earth. And this one here where he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And that just made me think of the prayer thing again, you know. Because like I said, I confess my prayer life isn't the best. It's like in the worst condition at the moment. And I think there's because, you know, there could be, there's a huge void sometimes with me in prayer, you know. Maybe I'm a straight to the point person, or maybe, you know, sometimes I just look at things as, you know, the Lord to get it done, and I don't got to worry about nothing. But yeah, I just wanted to read those three. I like those three. Just found them interesting.
Amen. Right. Thank you, Willie. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking about, I know a couple people have mentioned it in verses that they've read, but I was thinking this morning, for some reason, actually, it was in my previous testimony there, the words came on my mind this morning when I woke up, the restorer of the breach. And so after I took a shower, I got up just to read where that was at. And of course, that was in Isaiah 50. It's in Isaiah 58, and talking about the fast that God has chosen. But I was thinking tonight as we were speaking, I was thinking of that scripture when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that life, that, you know, that light that leads us through the darkness. It was just something about that. And so when I went back over to read the context of Isaiah 58. He's talking about, in verse 5, he says, it is such a fast that I have chosen a day. Well, I'm saying verse 6, it says, is not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. I was thinking of that that scripture, I think you said, was it Matthew 6:33? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so he says in this verse, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear. Thy rear reward, the reward. Not quite sure what that word means. But and so as you read through that and you get down to the in verse 12, it says, and they shall be of thee, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and that shall raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And I guess I was just, there's just a lot of things in there. I know that one of the main scriptures, well, it was the main scripture that where the Lord turned on the light and I realized who Jesus was. And that was the verse that said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that, when he said, I am the way, meaning the path, there's a path there, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I don't know where I'm going with this other than, I guess, the fact that that I think God has called us, that whatever struggles that we are going through, he has a purpose in it, because I believe he wants us to find his way through it with his light, trusting him to lead us through the darkness so that we can rebuild those old waste places. In other words, I think that the traditions of men and the teaching, I think Andrew was talking about the preachers of our generation who have believed what their teachers taught them, and those teachers taught them what their teachers taught, and many of those things that were taught those people were simply failures, justifications, a justification for a particular failure that they had and were not able to find the light of God's gospel and pursue through that, as David has taught us and showed us, and to grasp onto that truth and to hold on to it, to keep it, because the devil's going to try to take it away from you, and to persevere through that until you get through the struggle, get through the darkness, and enter into the light and receive the understanding of that truth and the faith of that. And in that process, rebuild the old place where the Lord of standing on his truth, that has been taken away. It's been destroyed over generations. A foundation that has been destroyed and shattered. And I think the Lord is teaching us how to rebuild those things. And it's and I think it's by understanding the cause and effect relationships of God's word, of trusting his word, trusting his truth, depending upon his spirit, the Holy Spirit, depending upon his guidance and his grace, his mercy to lead us through. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth for that specific reason, to raise up the foundations for many generations. And I think this is a wonderful time, a wonderful time of struggle, but I know that there is a purpose and a reason for it, that God has us learning how to repair the damaged truths that have been eroded and destroyed in our midst. So I don't know how I got off on that. It's just, I guess, what the Lord was leading me into this morning. But praise the Lord. He's raising us up.
Amen. He sure will. He sure will. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Let me read this for you. This will bless you. It's about John Wesley. For you Methodists, it might be in order to give an instance or two in the life of John Wesley, showing some remarkable displays of spiritual power. Many times it's stated this noted man gathered his company together and prayed all night, or until the mighty power of God came upon them. It was at a watch night service at Fetters Lake, December the 31st, 1738, just a day or two ago, when Charles and John Wesley, along with George Whitefield, boy, that's some great names, and others sat up until after midnight singing and praying, and this is the account that they give. About 3 o'clock in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, so that many cried out for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. As soon as we had recovered a little from that awe and amazement at the presence of His Majesty, we broke out with one voice, "We praise Thee, O God, we acknowledge Thee to be the Lord." And on another occasion, John Wesley gives us this account. After midnight, about 100 of us walked home together, singing, rejoicing, and praising God. This godly man often recorded such statements as this: "We continued in ministering the word and in prayer and praise until morning." as often as God manifested his power in scriptural times in working wonders through prayer, he has not left himself without witness in modern time. Prayer brings the Holy Spirit upon people today in answer to persistent, continued prayer, just as it did before Pentecost. The wonders of prayer have not ceased. And that's, you know, we've got a lot of things to distract us. I'm talking about me. I've got a lot of things that distract me away from the Lord and praying. And I'm saying this because God has asked us to pray. He's asked us to intercede for one another. He's asked us to intercede for the lost in this time that we have left before he comes in his man-child ministry. And he wants us to do that because time is of the essence. We're in a race. We're running a race against time. And we want all of these people that we've been praying for to come into the kingdom. And how many of us have prayed until the power of God has fallen on us? I'm telling you, I'm lacking. I'm lacking myself. I am lacking. Amen. We all lack more than we think. You know, we can say we pray as we go about and do our duties, and that's good. He wants us in that prayer closet. He wants us in that prayer closet getting nothing but just me and Jesus, me and God the Father, me and the Holy Spirit, where the power of God will come down on you, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you're praying is going to come to pass. That's the kind of praying that God wants. He wants a prayer. A lot of us have gotten in position just, you know, where we've prayed. I've gotten up at 3 or 4 o'clock, and I ain't saying I'm somebody. I ain't done that in a long time, but I've gotten up when I was back in Arkansas, and I'd get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and pray for 2 or 3 hours, and the power of God would come down me. I hadn't done that, and I can't tell you when. And that's pitiful. That's pitiful. And the power of God would come on me. Now, I remember Kenneth Hagin. Anybody here know who Kenneth Hagin was? He was talking about going to that lady when he was a new pastor at a church in Oklahoma. And her little boy would go to Ken in the morning, his first day of service. She said, "You got to come pray for mama." I said, "All the preachers got to come over here and pray for mama when they come to this, you know, when we go to this church, so she can come out of that bed of affliction." And he'd go over and he'd pray a little prayer of faith. And she said, "No, you got to stay until the Lord shakes the house." And that's what he did. He stayed there and prayed until the Lord shook the house, literally, physically shook the house. And he did it. He did that for a long time. He'd go over there and he'd pray for it. He had to stay until before church began, had to stay there until the Lord shook the house, and then she'd get up and go to the church with him. And just a long story short, he just finally got tired of it. And he said, "Look, I prayed for you this many times. I ain't praying no more." He said, "I prayed the prayer of faith. Now get yourself up and come on." And she just got up and never did get sick again, you know. But what I'm getting at is she taught him how to pray until the Lord came. She knew she was going to get healed for that day. She always thought it was for that day so she could go to church. But what she was teaching him was to pray until something happens. Now, we know about the prayer of faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the prayer of agreement. I'm talking about your own time with the Lord is what I'm talking about. Our own time with the Lord is more important than anything else you can do in these days we're in right now. And I'm telling you, I'm convicting myself because I have really lacked in that area of my walk with the Lord. You know, we don't mind studying. We don't mind reading the word. We don't mind going to fellowship. We don't mind saying a little prayer, but it's when the Lord wants us to have time with Him that the things of the world distracts us, because the enemy knows if you get in touch with God in that personal relationship with God, that he's in trouble. The enemy is in trouble. And when you grasp, when we grasp that time with the Lord is the most important time of our day, then guess what? You're going to be a powerful man of God and woman of God throughout that day, because you're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit the whole time. Because you, God has, and it, look, it don't come overnight. It comes through prayers and prayer. I remember, y'all remember Tom Kruger? I got a little bit of time. Y'all remember Tom Kruger, don't you? The guy that came on here when Tim was on here and had gone to heaven. He got in an accident. I think he was weightlifting or something. You remember that, Andrew? Tom Kruger and Tim, you remember? He was a weightlifter. Y'all remember? Y'all was here when Tim Conway was here, weren't you? No? Okay, anyway, I'll tell you about it. A little short. Tom Kruger came on. He was a friend of Tim's. He was from up in Ohio somewhere. And he lives down in Florida now, but he was a weightlifter, and he was a, I don't know, a athletic kind of guy. And he was picking up weights one day, and it just broke his back. And he wasn't lifting a whole lot of weights. He was just weightlifting weights, and he did something wrong, and it broke his back, broke his neck. And they took him to the hospital. And he was a Christian, and he was unconscious for days. And during that time of unconsciousness, the Lord showed him some things. The Lord, I believe it was the Lord, took him to heaven, and he would get into that area of worship and praying. He learned how to do that while he was laying in the bed. I'll get it right here in a minute. He learned how to do that while he was laying in bed. And he couldn't do nothing but pray. And so he'd pray. And he'd close his eyes and he'd pray. And he'd pray to God. And God would take him places. He would take him all over the world. He'd take him in spirit. And he'd leave his body there. And he'd go off somewhere with an angel or something. And God would show him things. And he'd come back. And after he got healed, after he was healed, and after he got where he could walk around and do things, he said, during that time where I could start walking, I lost that contact of praying to God. He said, when I finally got it back, he said, it used to take me 10 or 15 minutes to get into that realm, that spiritual realm, to where he could access God. He said, but now it took me 2 hours to get into that spiritual realm with the Lord again, because he had backed off of his praying. And I'm saying that to tell us, if we would, myself too, if I would just get in there and do it every day and get in that route of getting with the Lord and doing what the Lord wants me to do and understanding and listening to and talk to me, then we're going to know things that God wants us to know during that day. Or somebody's going to get blessed. Somebody going to get blessed. And anyway, that's kind of what I was been alluding to, this prayer time, my prayer time. Yeah, I talk about it a lot, and I sit back and I catch myself not getting into it. You know what I mean? Has anybody ever done that? I know y'all ain't never done that. Come on now. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to commune with Him first thing in the morning. And He wants us to, if we have to, sacrifice our time to do it. And He'll bless you. I'm telling you, He'll bless your socks off. Yeah, I know some of you have seen things in the spiritual realm when you've done that. Praise God. Okay. Yeah, Joe.
Now, I can relate with this, brother. I mean, I wasn't here when Tim Conway was here. And like you just said, if you sacrifice, because I sacrificed this past weekend to come down there, and the Lord blessed me big time. But I, like Willie and others have said, I sense God is calling me back to that, because I think I've shared before, when I first kind of what I thought met God. There were some powerful times in prayer, and I, what was that verse you brought up in Hebrews a couple weeks ago? Striving. I think Paul said you have not strived against sin till blood or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically it.
That's just kind of, that kind of came to mind the last so many minutes we've been talking about this. And I thought, wow, that's because that's kind of what I was doing. I mean, striving against the enemy, like you said, it's the enemy, once you get to that place with God, Satan knows he's finished. And there was a lot of that going on. So, I mean, I was striving. And yeah, I sense the Lord personally calling me back to that. So I'm sure others would probably feel the same way. God impressed on you, and the cares of the world and the distractions keep you from doing it. So absolutely.
Willie, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, that one promise that came to mind is, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It says they shall mount up, unto heaven, with eagle's wings. And just that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And it really felt like trying to drag scriptures out of us when we were, anybody know, got any other promises? I think a lot more would have come out of us this night if we spend more time with allowing the Lord to renew our strength. That's where I think a lot of the air time is coming from. And I'm just going to confess it, for myself, having a poor prayer life.
Amen.
Yeah.
We would have less air time if we had a better prayer life. I was going to say, I can probably count on my fingers, one hand, where I felt that deep, intimate, impact of the Father come upon me. But yeah, I think it would, when we start focusing more on, increasing our prayer life, when we do this, it's going to be fruitful. We're going to show what we've been born for. We're going to show who we are as a body and how each of us operate, in the body of Christ toward one another. It won't be a struggle to sit here and say, anybody got a scripture? I do too. Yeah, the Lord is blessed me, And the Lord will have us to operate as a nucleus, as that cell, however you want to say it, as the organs in the body, will be functioning together, moving in the spirit. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
This is what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to do that up until next, what is it, Thursday now? Tuesday.
Tuesday next week, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start focusing on my prayer life. So when we get out here, it won't be, does anybody, I'm like, yes.
Amen. I'll tell you what, let's just make it a, let's all do that. Let's all pray about Nick, not have any kind of an agenda at all for Tuesday night. Just see what the Lord wants us to talk about by using our prayer time. And yeah, then He'll bless us. We've done that before. I know y'all have.
It just might turn out to be some powerful confessing of things that need to be confessed.
Amen. Amen. Is that okay with everyone? Don't mind no devils. That's what we're going to do. Everybody pray and just seek the Lord and just pray. Just pray in the spirit. Do whatever, you know. And up till Tuesday night, and we're going, I'll tell you what, we're going to see something. Praise God. If we all do it, it's going to be, everybody agreeable to that? Raise your hand. Yep, I agree. Thank you, Lord. I agree. Praise God. Okay, I see you raising your hand too, Megan and Tracy and Wade and Jeanette and Barbara. I see you raising your hand. Praise God. I know you are. Okay. God bless you, Tracy. Love you too, girl. Well, all right. We're out of time. Let's pray. And we'll pray till about 2 or 3. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for bringing it in our hearts to do this, because I know that's your heart for us. And I just praise you, Father, that during these next few days, that every one of us are going to get in touch with you in a mighty way. And I don't, not only that, Lord, you're going to show us some things next Tuesday night that it's going to be the best time we've ever had. I believe it. Because I'm, for one, am going to set aside time every day for you. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in our hearts to do this for ourselves, our family members, and our friends, and the people, and this country. This country, we need to be praying for this country too. And Father, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for placing everything in our heart that you want us to pray for, and then making a list, and then showing us, check this one. Yep, that was answered. Yep, that one was answered. Yep, that one there was answered. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for all of us. Be with us, protect us, provide for us, and Lord, guide us and set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Okay. Let me unmute everybody.
Amen.
All right.